Planned Parenthood has been around for decades, and for some people, controversial the entire time. Congress voted last week to remove all federal funding from Planned Parenthood, but in a vote to also defund Obamacare, so a presidential veto is expected. The vote comes after some controversy over the practices of the organization, and just a week after someone, apparently enraged by perceptions of those practices, shot up a Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado Springs, killing three people and wounding nine others. It can't be easy to be inside Planned Parenthood at this moment, so let's get some perspective from there, from inside Planned Parenthood, from our region. Lisa Gardner is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southern Oregon. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Sure. First of all, just set the record straight on what services you provide in Southern Oregon. I've known over 30 years of reporting in the region that often people are protesting abortions outside places where no abortions take place.
Yeah, that's correct. We do not provide surgical abortions in our Rogue Valley clinics. We have clinics in Medford, Grants Pass, and Ashland. Our primary service we provide are preventive care, women's annual exams, STI screenings, pregnancy tests, things like that. We do provide medical abortions, which are non-surgical abortions, but we don't have surgical abortions in spite of some of the perception out there.
Medical and surgical abortions, not aware of the difference. Can you walk us through that?
Well, one is a surgical procedure that's done in a surgical environment in office, and we do that in our Eugene Springfield location. The other is basically a pharmaceutical-induced termination of the pregnancy.
So the
pharmaceutical is administered in our location, and then the termination occurs subsequent to that.
All right, so it's essentially what we call the morning after pill for a while.
It's actually not the morning after pill. It's a later term than that.
Okay. How far into term would that work?
You know, I'm probably getting a little bit outside my area of expertise, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 to 9 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What is it like trying to continue to provide the services that Planned Parenthood provides in a climate that is often hostile?
Well, I'll tell you, the first thing I'd like to say is just that even more than a week since the tragedy in Colorado, our thoughts and prayers are still so much with our colleagues and the families of the folks who are harmed and killed in Colorado. Both nationally and locally, we are so grateful to law enforcement who handled that tragedy extremely well and who also provided us support locally. And I would say, obviously, there are staff who were shaken by the events that happened in Colorado Springs. I would actually offer that since the tragedy that occurred in San Bernardino, it changed the perspective of some folks, because I think it went from feeling strictly that there's a target on our back as Planned Parenthood to we live in an environment where tragedy can strike randomly and not necessarily specifically targeted to us. But I would say that, you know, the last week I've spent a good deal of my time just trying to continue to send the message out that our doors are open, that we have strong security measures in place, and that we're going to keep delivering the services that we deliver because they are so critical to our patients.
You mentioned the medical and surgical abortions only at the Eugene Springfield Center, medical at the Grants Pass, Medford, and Ashland Centers. But there's so much more to Planned Parenthood than that. And honestly, I can remember 4 years old, I think was my first knowledge of Planned Parenthood, when my mother went there because she was getting birth control pills so there wouldn't be any more kids after me.
Right. That's right. And so, you know, we serve over 30,000 patients in the state of our region of Oregon, which includes Eugene, Springfield, and all the way down to the California border, over the coast as well. And, you know, the vast majority of people seeking our services are looking for birth control of all varieties that we provide. They're looking for counseling. They're looking for STI screening. And many people are coming to us for their annual exams, which are covered by insurance. And so having nothing to do with pregnancy prevention, although that's obviously occasionally a tangential part of an exam, but people come for their well women and well men exams to our clinics.
With the, I'm just wondering if you get a chance to compare notes with Planned Parenthood centers in other states about the services. This comes from a position of knowing that Oregon is a state that is okay with all the things that Planned Parenthood does generally. But you must be talking to people from Planned Parenthood chapters in other states that are in Texas, for example, and a lot of the other Deep South states where the restrictions seem to be greater and greater from the state legislature all the time.
Sure. I mean, absolutely. Especially in the last week, there have been several calls with folks from the Federation and other CEOs throughout the country. We are so fortunate in Oregon. We're literally the only state in the country with no restrictions on women's access to reproductive health care. There are states in the country that have waiting periods, that have that don't have clinics within hundreds of miles of the patient needs, and we don't have those kinds of restrictions in place. We always are under threat, both through the legislature and through ballot initiative, and but we continue just to focus on the healthcare services. In fact, our focus in the Southwestern Oregon affiliate is to think about how can we expand our healthcare services to primary care, both in Lane County and down in Jefferson and Jackson and Josephine counties. There's a gap between the number of insured people now that Obamacare, more people have sought and acquired insurance. There's a gap between primary care providers. And so we're really in a position where we can look to expand our services and continue serving more and more people through our clinics.
A gap in distance? A gap in dollars?
There's a gap in the number of primary care physicians available. So there are fewer primary care physicians available than there are people who are now insured.
All right. So more patients than doctors at this moment.
Exactly. And I don't have the specific numbers in Josephine and Jackson County, but in Lane County, there's 30,000 people who do not have a primary care home.
And how can Planned Parenthood potentially fill some of that gap?
Well, one of the things we're looking at, we've hired a new medical director, Dr. Tom Ewing, and he spent some time recently in the Rogue Valley. We'll be spending quite a bit more time down there meeting with folks, Jackson Care Connect and other providers, and trying to find out what services are most in need and trying to expand within our existing licensing what we can do in terms of additional services like vaccinations and other well care exams that we can provide. We're obviously not going to become we're not going to become like an urgent care kind of facility, but there's a lot of services that we can provide that aren't currently being provided and that people are seeking without the ability to find primary care doctors who can provide those services for them.
Lisa Gardner is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southern Oregon with operations in the Rogue Valley and in the Eugene Springfield area. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 on the phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. When you talk about vaccinations, what kinds of vaccinations might you be considering providing?
Well, I mean, absolutely, we provide Gardasil, which is available to primarily targeting younger adults, trying to prevent the spread of
human papillomavirus.
Thank you very much. but we can also, we could do flu vaccines, we can do tetanus shots, we can do general vaccines that the general public need and don't have easy access to. Besides taking Oregon Health Plan, we take private insurance, and lots of people don't know that. And so we're just trying to make sure that our sort of menu of services that we provide are well-known and that where we have opportunities to expand them, we'd like to expand them.
The figure of 3% is often bandied about by national leaders of Planned Parenthood to describe what percentage of overall services abortion is. And is it a similar figure for Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon?
Yeah, it's a similar or smaller figure. I mean, as I said earlier, overwhelmingly our patients seek us for family planning services.
And what's the most common type of – I'm honestly just curious about the kinds of contraception and other family planning devices that people use now.
Sure. Well, there are longer-acting birth control pills known as LARCs in the field. And in Oregon, actually, our legislature last year passed legislation that allows 12 months dispensing of birth control. And so people can come in and get a full year's supply of birth control pills. Still very popular or increasingly popular are IUDs. We do a lot of IUD insertions. People also still look at other longer-acting types of birth control, such as the pill. But I think IUD is increasingly popular among sort of the Gen X and millennials because it's there's no user error as part of it.
Right. And I noticed that one of the reasons the legislature wanted to pass the legislation allowing a year's worth of birth control pills is so that there weren't gaps in when people had pills available.
Exactly.
Lisa, over the years, there have been attacks on clinics in the Rogue Valley, including a firebombing at the Catalina Clinic in Ashland that resulted in the clinic closing. Rochelle Shannon, formerly of Grants Pass, is serving prison time for that one. Has Planned Parenthood been directly affected by any of the violence on clinics in southwestern Oregon?
I'm not aware that we have been affected by violence. Certainly, I've been there for 4 months, which is not a long tenure, although I've been involved with the affiliate for close to 10 years. I'm not aware of other violence besides that. I mean, we have active protesters at all of our sites, but for the most part, they're respectful of the law and not harassing our clinic staff or patients, which is our number one concern. The local law enforcement agencies have been extremely cooperative and outreached to us in terms of what kinds of services they could, or additional patrols they can provide to help our clinic staff feel safe and our patients feel safe. You know, interestingly, the first act of violence of any Planned Parenthood in the country was in Eugene, Springfield. It was a fire, and I think it was 1971 or two. So, we, you know, across the country, this happens, unfortunately. But we've been lucky in that we've not had folks severely harmed.
Have there been changes in security configurations over the years?
You know, we obviously over time, security measures have probably gotten stronger. We have very strong security measures in place. Our security falls into sort of three major categories. One is relationship with law enforcement, the other is staff training, and then equipment in our facilities. And all three of those components I know to have saved lives in Colorado, and I would say that from hearing Vicki Cowart, the CEO, Rocky Mountain affiliate, has asserted that far absolutely the number one factor she believes was the staff training that they had done, and people were just prepared, the personal awareness, situational awareness and response. And so we'll be looking at continuing our programs in those areas, but all of our facilities are already have very strong measures in place.
Lisa Gardner, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How direct a line is this for you, Lisa, when you think about what happened in Colorado Springs? Do you connect the attack to statements made by political figures about Planned Parenthood's activities and funding?
You know, at this point, there's obviously been a lot of speculation around the motives in Colorado Springs. It's hard not to look at the spectrum of political rhetoric that we've been hearing over the last several months and not imagine that there's a connection being made. I've tried to stay out of the political conversation. There's plenty of people who are participating in that, and my number one focus is on safety and service. But for sure, there's a contributing factor, I think, in terms of the focus that there has been on Planned Parenthood over the last 4 to 5 months.
And so much of what's going on right now with the efforts to defund in Congress and so forth is about the videos connected to Planned Parenthood, or at least purported to be from or about Planned Parenthood.
Right.
From your knowledge, what is the true story there?
From my knowledge, those videos were heavily, heavily edited and do not accurately portray either our practices. And by, when I say I mean it as a broad Planned Parenthood, because there are only one or two affiliates who were doing the type of services that were referred to in the videos. But they're heavily edited and inaccurate. Planned Parenthood absolutely has not or never will profit from fetal tissue sales. And it was strictly volunteer program for the affiliates who engaged in it. And the primary focus was to allow greater depth of research in what have been proven to be life-saving medical advances around things, Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and cancers and things like that. So we don't participate. We haven't. We don't plan to. And so I'm fairly removed from the conversation, but obviously have been tracking it.
Any sort of discussion of federal funding for Planned Parenthood might make people feel a little better in thinking that they're taking money away from an organization. But the fact is that with the Hyde Amendment, it's been in place for, I believe, more than 25 years now, prevents any federal funding from being used for abortion anyway, which raises the question, when there's a grant to the federal government for Planned Parenthood, where does the money go?
Yeah, you're correct about the Hyde Amendment. I mean, when the federal defunding bills go through, really what that's doing is taking away women's access to basic health care needs, the types of things that I've talked about. The funding that we get helps pay for Medicaid, helps folks access our services, whether they're seeking birth control pills or IUD insertions or having sexually transmitted diseases. The other thing I didn't mention that we do provide is referrals for vasectomies. We don't do vasectomies, but we refer patients out, and they can actually get reimbursed for them. So that's a fairly important service that folks don't know about that I want to make sure they do know about. The other thing I haven't talked about is that we have very robust education programs, and a lot of the funding that we get goes towards education. In the Rogue Valley in particular, we've had a very successful program called the Teen Outreach Program, or TOP, in Jackson County. TOP engages young people in a nine-month curriculum, and it's coupled with service learning projects. The program promotes healthy decisions and empowers young people to lead successful lives. We engaged over 600 youth, actually in total over 1,000 youth in Jackson County in that program, and it's been hugely successful.
I think you might have answered this question already, but here's a call from Jamie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Lisa Gardner, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon.
Well, good morning, Jeffrey.
Howdy.
Good morning, Lisa. And yes, Jeffrey, you're right on about that. You have stolen my thunder in that regard. Lisa, would you do me the favor and say that Planned Parenthood involves two people who tango, who have a child? So basically, what do you have as regard to referrals for vasectomies and things that people that, I don't know, maybe they're a little too young to know this, but after a while, they get the idea that babies come from two people falling in love and having a baby together, and when that doesn't happen, when it happens wrongly, could you explain to me, please, what are your mail services for, with regard to Planned Parenthood? And Jeffrey, I'll take her answer off the air.
Thank you, Jamie. We already got to vasectomy referrals. What else do you have for men there?
Well, I would say the HPV vaccination, the Gardasil, is probably one of the top ones that we would encourage young men of any age to come in, particularly young teenage men. It's the most effective when you come in during your teenage years.
Okay, another call here from John and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Lisa Gardner at Planned Parenthood.
Hi. I was struck by you, by Lisa saying, seemed to be saying that that demonstrators don't seem to harass the clients, the client base, as they perhaps pursue abortion services. My daughter lives in Portland, and she has endometriosis. She's got some real problems. She accidentally got pregnant. I'm talking months ago. She sought an abortion through another provider, a big, well-known provider in Portland. And I assumed that because Portland is a civilized place, that she could pursue this endeavor in peace. And what she found on the sidewalk at that provider was a sort of a howling mob. I just want to say the people who are involved in providing abortion services are saints and full of courage. They don't even understand. And I'm so appreciative. And I'm so ashamed of some of the politicians and some of my fellow citizens in this society who get in the way of people's health care individual personal decisions. So thank you very much.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that comment. I guess I would just add that I have been at other clinics and other locations throughout the country, and there are clinics on the East Coast in particular, and certainly in the South and Southeast, where folks have to be escorted from the parking lot. And so I guess relatively comparing ourselves to those locations, we really are not harassed. But obviously, there's a whole spectrum of folks out there who protest our services.
Given that you're in Oregon and generally there's not harassment, as you mentioned, or at least that there's protesting but not out and out harassment. I mean, are your budgets a little more dedicated to the things you want to be providing within the doors of the clinic and not just keeping people from getting through those doors?
That's right. We are very much focused on providing services. And so as we talked at the beginning of the program, we've had some sort of a little bit of a scare or being a little bit rattled by the actions that happened in Colorado Springs. For the most part, we really are fortunate in being able to focus on the services we provide. And as I talked about, trying to expand our services to see how many more folks who need healthcare access we can meet.
Well, for example, when the discussion turns once again to defunding, and again, the Senate voted to defund Planned Parenthood along with an Obamacare repeal that passed in a budget bill, so it was just a 51-vote yes needed to make that pass. Obama plans to veto that, is what we're told. If by some chance Planned Parenthood defunding did happen, who else might be in a position to provide the kinds of services that Planned Parenthood provides?
Well, that's a great question, Jeff. I think that what people don't realize is that there's a lot more providers besides Planned Parenthood who would be affected by this bill, should, in the unlikely event that Obama not veto it, which I believe is highly likely that he will. So there are other coordinated care organizations throughout the state of Oregon who will be affected by that. There's a lot of funding that comes from the federal government through the state and then to local providers. And it's not, it really isn't impacting the abortion care at the level that people believe it is, because as we discussed earlier, it's less than 3% of the services provided by Planned Parenthood. The bulk of the services that are needed, that are funded, are about preventive care and well care, and then access to family planning services like contraceptives and vasectomies.
I know this probably wouldn't happen at the local chapter level, but is there any sort of political or philosophical outreach? I mean, because some of the things that people who are for and against abortion go through, they're essentially seeking the same thing, making sure that when children are born, it's because people want them to be born.
Exactly. I mean, I hear people, especially in the last several weeks, talking about if folks could focus as much on our born children as on our unborn children, we'd be in a little bit different position. We're not engaged politically. We are a healthcare provider, and that's really where our focus is.
Okay, head down, eyes on the process there. Lisa Gardner is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
You bet.